I'll now hand over to our three speakers today for their experience, strength and hope on the topic of groups treasure stories.
My name's Joe. I'm a composer, director, and my solstice today is from July 2009.
Hi, Joe.
Group treasurer is still one of our trusted servants, but he's also custodian, or they're also the custodians of all our finances. They're the part that help support the fellowship as a whole. And in my experience, the treasurer, there's lots of difficulties in being a treasurer. If a group is large enough to have a bank account, which one of the groups I was with did have, and the original treasurer went missing, and we couldn't access the funds. Banks don't make it easy here in the UK. And this is why, through my years in recovery in this fellowship and other fellowship, I would always suggest to have three custodians of the funds, especially with where banks are concerned. So those funds are always available and can be retrieved. But as I say, I've had occasions where the treasurer has gone, and in one of my other fellowship meetings, there's a few hundred pound in a bank account we can't access at the moment. I haven't been able to since before the pandemic, because the treasurer, you know, and that's a problem throughout. I don't know, I can't speak for the US, but that's a problem for us here in the UK. In DA, we have, I'm also on our DA intergroup, and we have not introduced, it's been there for a while, and there was questions about, you know, transparency, because we have a bank account. And it's not with one of the major banks, I won't name them, but let's say I've been chair of the UK intergroup for 2.5 years, and I only managed to access the bank account properly 2 months ago. And we filled all the forms in 2 years ago. It's that difficult. But leading up to this conference, what I've found is been well worth the wait. Our funds are safeguarded so much here, our intergroup funds, and we rely solely on our groups throughout the country and our treasurers, that they get those funds in a timely manner to intergroup in order to fund our GSRs. And this has been an example of why we needed those safeguards that we've got. The UK intergroup has paid for nearly 10 GSRs this year from our Vision Fund. And in order to get that money to the GSO, our treasurer would raise a request for payment with our bank. And until less than 2 months ago, they would ring another signature. We have three to get authorization. It's just been simplified in the last 2-3 weeks now, that the payments are raised online. The signatories get an email. We access the account, put in some security details, and approve. In groups, my home group, we haven't got a bank account. So the treasurer at the end of the evening will collect the Tradition 7 money when the pot goes round. And once that pot goes round, the money in that belongs to DA. Doesn't belong to the group, it belongs to DA as a whole. And I would, when I was treasurer, would always get someone to count the money with me. I've seen too many cases of the money's put in a bag and it goes into the treasurer's pocket, it's not counted. That is not safeguarding the treasurer, in my opinion. You know, so I'll always have someone count the money with me. and have a little accountancy book at the meeting. So when the meeting's finished, money's counted, expenses are paid out for the group functioning, all put in that book, and two people just initial where that money is. And then once a month, come into the group, show them the book at a group conscience, and they know where everything is, and we decide how much is going to intergroup. Thank you. And that is the way it should work. And it's the same with intergroup. We have, especially for conference, we would have a PRG with three or four members of intergroup to work out the spending plan for conference. And in this year, we had a PRG when we received all the applications for funding, whether it was for the whole event or just topping up what the group had saved. Larger groups are able to fund themselves, smaller groups. And this year we decided from intergroup we would fund everyone who wanted to go if we could afford it. We had, you know, saved a lot in our vision pot, especially for this conference, to get it represented by the UK as much as possible. So that all went, and it's just astounding. With regards to Tradition 7, and it's I've been to meetings where I've overheard what older members criticise a newer member for the amount they were putting in the Tradition 7 pot. And I would, and this is just me, because I'm passionate about this. Tradition 7 is not just about money. Service is Tradition 7 as well. You know, so you turn up at a group, you either make the tea, you put the chairs out, and doing that, especially if you're in a position you cannot afford. If you go to two or three or four meetings or more a week, some people just cannot afford to keep putting money in, so they do the service. And that counts. That's, without service, we wouldn't stay too long. We wouldn't feel connected. Only talking for me. I feel committed and part of DA. And I wouldn't be here as long as I have if I didn't have that connection and have a commitment. Because if I don't have a commitment that there's something good on TV, you know, that would win. So service, especially, you know, the secretaries, treasurers, they're okay. They've got a role, but everyone else has a role in this fellowship. And, you know, without it, I'm sorry, you know, I wouldn't be here for me. And I'm running out, so I will stop now and I will pass to you.
Thank you.
Thanks. My name is Alex and I am a compulsive debtor. Thank you for asking me to speak on this topic of group treasury stories. I came in to programme initially in 1996 and I stayed. I did my degree and all was good. This is to qualify. Then I decided I would go out and you'd come back with even more debt 5 years ago. I'm glad to be able to speak on this topic. I've seen some very interesting things happen on group treasury. And it is a honorary position, and it's a very important one. I have seen people being given it who are very new, and I seriously feel you need at least a year in program. I've also seen, very sadly, somebody walk out with the whole of our treasury pot. And sadly, she relapsed and we couldn't get the money back for our group. But I feel that when you are in the program, it gives us a sense of, personally, responsibility, and we start supporting our own needs, and it's rooted with a higher power. And, therefore, when we are able to contribute to the pot, that contribution will be as much or as little. Sometimes when you're having your income is low, you may contribute less. But when you've got more, you would contribute more. It's a very personal thing. But for me, I've done Treasury in two different factors. One, in face-to-face meetings, and secondly, when we went to Zoom meetings when we were in the pandemic. First of all, I'd like to talk about what it was like being a face-to-face treasurer. It's, for me, I would go to the group, I would announce that it was group, the pot was going round. But very importantly, when I did this, I announced the group the total amount that we needed that meeting so that we could actually run. Tradition 7 states we are fully self-supporting. Now, sometimes you might get a very small group, and other days you'll get a very big group. And I do believe God carries us. The other thing is, and I found this, it's vital to collect the money, write down the figure, and know how much it is. It's essential to do it regularly. Put it in the ledger that evening and add up the spreadsheet. It's like you don't have vagueness. It stops the vagueness, and that's where the debting starts. When it was face-to-face, we needed, at the group conscience, requests for literature. There would be people wanting money for teas and coffees. I'd be paying the rent, have a relationship with the venue. And also, we would vote to give money to the intergroup. And also, to be starting a fund for the World Service, so we could send someone across. It was really interesting. We sat down, had a PRG, and worked out how much could we give, and how much could we afford, and how much will we need. Then the pandemic happened and we went online, and that meant that we were on Zoom. By doing that, I had to set up a PayPal account. And that was interesting because that meant that I did have to share a bank account. The other thing that I did was I set up a complete form from the PayPal account. I had a specific account which only ever was used for the DA Treasury. Not for anything else. It wasn't, oh, well, I'll just put it into my current account and, oh, I haven't got money for my groceries this week. I'll just take £20 out and then I'll top it up. No. I don't do that for my mortgage account. That's separate. For me, it's really important. You have a bank account separately, and I had to do that for the PayPal account. So the money would be there. Again, after each meeting, sit down and do this and put it in the ledger so I knew how much there was. We had different expenses. Of course, we didn't have literature because we couldn't physically show it, but we did have a literature person, and she would put up a link, which was fantastic, because that meant the newcomer got help. The other thing that I did was I said to people, We may be on Zoom, but we still need to contribute. And we have World Service Conference coming up, and we're still collecting that money. I'm pleased to say that we were a Zoom account, and we do have a delegate here today. And that's because people have put their contributions in, and we were able to keep that money separate and look and add money up and keep it and collect money for the delegate. As I say, I've always found it's really important to be very symptomatic. You've got to be very organised. There was one time in another fellowship when I wasn't, and it was a total nightmare. I had bags and bags of change, and trying to work out what week was what was very unfunny, and I learned a big lesson. DA in particular is not something that I can afford to do that with. And also, I'm betting on the meeting that if I don't do clear figures, because I'm not doing myself any help and service, and I'm not helping the group. So I feel that's really all I've got to say. I would say that doing Tradition 7 and the Treasury position has really, really helped me. It's really made me think, am I up to date with my figures? And it's helped me to be current, and it's been really lovely that we've been able to help people come to this convention, and that we are able to give to intergroup. Going to a Zoom meeting has been hard, because I have seen the amount that people put in has lowered. People don't think, oh, we don't have a venue, it doesn't matter. But we do need the funds. But luckily, we have got through it. And as I say, I always say to people, we need to collect this amount. And it's a gentle reminder. It's not set in stone. If you haven't got it, then that's okay. We're not going to say you're bad. And that's all I've got to say. So thank you.
Thank you, Alex.
Hi, my name is Phil, and I am a compulsive debtor. I have not incurred any new unsecured debt since January 2011, but others may say otherwise. My home meeting is Brighton face-to-face Monday evening, 7 o'clock for an hour. You're more than welcome. Okay, I had 2 minutes notice to be a speaker today, so this is going to be fun. And I really don't think I can add anything to what the guy and Alex have said earlier, which was absolutely fantastic. But, you know, horror stories abound, don't they? You know, treasurers who've disappeared with the cash. But the beauty, the miracle, putting to the side the sheer cost of putting on a World Service Conference and sending a delegate, generally a 12-step meeting survives on a sixpence. Really, it's not much, is it? And I've been to lots of meetings. I like to get out to meetings, less so in the pandemic. And I've been to small meetings where a lot of money gets put in the pot, Tradition 7. And I've been to some super successful West London meetings, over 40 people. And I spoke to the treasurer there and said, what did you take today? Bit of a cheeky question. And she said, X pound. And I thought, Ex-Pound came in. This is a rich meeting. There's 40 people. I said to her, do you do realise that the per capita giving here is the lowest I've seen in 10 years? And she was mega upset. But that's what I felt at the time. Group treasurer stories. Okay, I'm now going to take a risk. So this may well get deleted before it goes on the website. I have had a lot of experience of being a treasurer for a charitable organisation. But I need to preface this with saying this. I'm a bit of a schizophrenic. I worked in a bank for 10 years, and when I was 30, I kind of stopped. And for that 10 years, I was very orderly, cautious, careful. And I am. When I talk to my clients now, I give order, careful advice. But for me, there's this other side of my nature, which is flamboyant and reckless and stupid and will take enormous risks, which led me into Debtors Anonymous and BDA. Anyway, in the early 1980s, we had a guy in a large church in West London, which I won't mention, who was a real whiz kid. He was a chartered accountant. He had high power jobs in big companies, and he got promoted and he left, and there was no one else to do it. And the minister and the eldership team says, look, you work in a bank, you can do it. So foolishly, I went, yeah, I'll do it. I was a church of 500 at the time, and I made horrendous mistakes. I didn't lose cash. I'd do transfers between things for £5,000, and it would kind of like disappear. So I had to sit down with this account at the end of the year and rewrite every transaction for that year to find out there wasn't a loss, there wasn't a problem, it's just my bookkeeping wasn't up to speed. Yet this is a man who lectured on a Monday evening for 2 years at a college in West London on bookkeeping and accountancy. Go figure. And this was a man who failed GCSE O-level English years ago. So it's this schizophrenia that goes on in my life. Anyway, I thought, I don't know this. This is the problem. I've got to learn. And I did, and I schooled myself in it. And I spent hours and hours and hours of time. And I just leant on my higher power to guide me through what was going on. And then this guy, this Welsh firebrand, came to the church, and he had a vision to grow the place. And within 7 or 8 years, it grew from one full-time member of staff to 50 paid members of staff. And I was still the treasurer, and I wasn't being paid. Yet I had two members of staff who were getting a salary. What did I learn in that period? That without relying in a charitable situation like 12-step groups, like DA, like BDA, you have to rely on God. God is in the detail. God is everywhere. At the last meeting, this lady goes, God's in the carpet. And I'm going, I've never heard that. I would never like a higher power as a carpet. But I thought, yeah, God is everywhere because, you know, what makes up matter? You know, it's all God ordained. And I totally believe that. I'm pausing just to listen as to what I can say, that it won't be stupid and it will be God ordained. Yeah, one of the things I learned, you know, in this church organisation, when we started, there were two services, a morning one and an evening one. Within 4 years, we had five services on a Sunday, 9 o'clock, 11 o'clock, 2 o'clock for the people who couldn't get up in the morning, 5 o'clock, and then 9 o'clock was for the people who actually got up late in the evening. 5 minutes, thank you very much. And you get people turning up outside the door and they come with their cans of beer and their bottles of beer, and we would take it off them and give them a can of Coke, and that was their meeting. And I learned about this per capita thing, that the quality of giving was always highest at 11 in the morning, and then it was low at 2 o'clock, back up at 5 and almost nil at 9 o'clock. We were just totally giving out. It was a fast changing, it was a fast growing environment, and I had to learn to delegate. And initially I would delegate and I would abdicate. I would give the part of the job to somebody else and I would just ignore it. But we had one guy, I said, right, you're going to have to do the cash on Sunday. He built a team of three. We got a lockable door because there was lots going on in there, and he would bank it before he went home in the night safe. We had another guy, it was very considered, thoughtful, good bookkeeper. He became the budget secretary, which we would call a spending plan. And that's how I managed. So after about 7, 8, 9 years, it just got too much. The job got too much. I wasn't being paid. My family was suffering. I had to leave. And what has amazed me, actually, is in my charitable work, I would always have the faith that God would intercede, God would intervene, we would get through, the bills would be paid, the salaries would be paid. And they were, and it was beyond me. It wasn't just me, it was a thing of God, it was a thing of a higher power. But in my own life, you'd think with that experience and knowledge I wouldn't get into a mess. But I just couldn't apply it to Phil. I couldn't have the faith to trust that my debts would be paid. I'm in sales, have been for 35 years now. And it's tough because you have feast and you have famine. And if you start getting your standing orders and direct debits when times are good, then when times are hard, you crash and burn. And 2008 was the credit crunch. It nearly killed me. And if it hadn't been for faith in God, I wouldn't have survived. And I think I'll finish with one thing. One thing I learned in my church work, and I carry it in my private life, and I can carry it in DA, is if you're looking after cash for an organisation, you need to know three things. Number one, you need to know, how did I get here? Where have I come from? What was 1 week, 1 month, 1 year's history? What's our history? Number two, where are we today? Every day, and I do it with my accounts now, what's my bank balance? What's my cash balance? Where are we today? And then thirdly, this is the spending plan and the vision, where are we going? Where do we hope to be? And if daily I can have those three things in my head, then I'm safe, I'm secure, and I just trust it will all work out. And that applies to a treasurer, whether it's international, group, or individual meeting, or any other organisation we need to be. That's my wisdom. Thank you for listening.
Thank you. Thanks, Phil. Thanks.